Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all back. And you may recall that it has already become traditional that the first year after Pesach, I review the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha that I said in my shul in Har Nof twice, once in Hebrew and once in English. And since on Shabbos HaGadol we don't have the opportunity to get it down on tape, so we say the shir after Shabbos HaGadol in order to share the ideas with you, and I did spend a lot of time working on them, and well, maybe even to be a little honest, who had the energy to create a new shir between after Pesach and now? But listen, I take that back. I think it's really that we should just share the ideas with you. All right. The central theme of the night of the Seder is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, to relate that which happened in Egypt. The Mishnah in Masechet Psachim enunciates clearly this mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, and the Mishnah says the following: Ulfidato shel ben aviv melamdo, according to the intelligence of the son, so the father teaches him. Matchil bignut umesayim b'shavach, you have to begin with the unhappy periods of Jewish history and complete the story with the praise of the Jewish people. And about this there is a difference of opinion in the Gemara. Rav and Shmuel, one says that we begin with this, with the story of Avodah Hayinu, we were enslaved to Paro and then we were taken out. Or another opinion that says we go back to the earliest beginnings of the Jewish people, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu, at the very beginning our fathers were idolaters, even Avram was an idolater, and finally we became a people who believes in God. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, V'doresh me'arami oved avi. This you don't have on your sheet. We're going to start with the sources on your sheet right away. V'doresh me'arami oved avi ad sheyigmor kol haparsha kula. The way in which the mitzvah of relating the story of what happened in Egypt is done, the means, the vehicle is doresh, you study. May Arami Oved Avi, from the words Arami Oved Avi, Ad Sheyigmar Kol HaParsha Kula, until one finishes the entire Parsha. What does this mean? The third source on the right-hand side of the page is the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo. The beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo in Sefer Devarim says that when you will come to the land that God has given to you and you will inherit the land and settle in the land, there's a mitzvah to bring the first fruits. The first fruits should be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and when a Jew brings the Bikurim, when he brings the first fruits, there is a declaration that he makes in the Beit HaMikdash in the presence of God. That declaration begins in that third source over there, Pasuk 5, Pasuk Hey. Va'anisa va'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, you should lift your voice and say before God your God, Arami oved avi, Lavan the Arami wanted to destroy my father. You will begin to hear that the sentences that I'm going to say are the central part of the Haggadah. In the Haggadah we take each one of these phrases and we elaborate on them. Arami oved avi, Lavan wanted to destroy my father, Vayeded Mitzrayma, and my father went down to Egypt, Vayogar Shaman, he lived there, B'mesei Meyot, there were only a few people when they went down, Vayehi Shaman, there he became, Goy Gadol, Otsum Varov, a great, a mighty, and a multitudinous people, Vayoreo Otanu HaMitzchem, and the Egyptians were evil to us, Vayanunu, and they tortured us, Vayitnu Aleinu Avodah Kasha, they placed upon us very difficult work, Vanitzak al Hashem l'kei avotainu, and we cried out to God, the God of our fathers, Vayishma et kolein, Hashem et koleinu, God heard our voices, Vayad et onyenu, and He saw our suffering, Ve'et amoleinu, and our toil, Ve'et lachatzenu, and our distress, our oppression. Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, and God took us out of Egypt, B'yad chazaka, uvizroa netuya, uvemora gadol, He took us out with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, with great awesomeness, with signs, and with miracles. These 3.5 psukim that I just read are part of the declaration that's made by a person who brings the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. And in the Haggadah, as I said, every phrase here is elaborated upon. For example, Vayoreu otanu amitzvim, the Egyptians did evil to us and they caused us suffering and pain. Vayoreu otanu amitzvim says that God of the Egyptians will bear to us kemosh enema, as it says. How do we know that that's true? As it says in Parashat Shemot, Havon et chakmala, let's be wise, deal wisely with them, pen yirbe, lest this people will grow too many. V'hoyaki tegrenu v'chava, there will be war, v'nosav kamhu al sonenu, he will also join our enemies and wage war with us. Vayanunu, and they caused us suffering, as it says, Vayotzimu olav sarim bisim, they placed upon them taskmasters in order to torture them. The structure of the Haggadah really is, we take these 3.5 psukim, and every phrase of these 3.5 psukim, we relate back to Parshat Shmot, Vo'era, and Bo. One of the questions, this is a question we once discussed, but we're going to get back to it now. If we would be writing the Haggadah, where would we go for the source? Where would we look first in order to put together the text of the Haggadah? Most naturally, we would go to Parshiot Shemot, Va'era, and Bo, where the story of Egypt is described. That's where it is. But that's not what the Haggadah does. What the Haggadah does, it goes to Parshat Ki Tavo, and in order to substantiate everything that a person who's bringing the first fruits says, to substantiate it, we refer back to Shemot Va'era and go, ooh. You know, in a sense, it's like instead of going straight, it's going all the way around. Go straight to the source. Why not build the whole story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim on those parashiyot, the first source where it appears? But that's not the way it's done. We only refer to the source of Shemot Va'era Bo via the means of Parashat Ki Tavo. It's a little bit strange. And then there's another thing that bothers me. And this bothers me throughout the Haggadah. It will seem, until we finally get to the answer, it may seem as though there's some kind of a plot here in the Haggadah. The Mishnah had said the following: V'doresh, you study, Arami Oved Avi, the parsha of Arami Oved Avi, listen to the words, Ad sheyigmor kol ha-parsha kula, until you finish the whole parsha. Until you complete the entire parsha. But that's not what we do. We stop short. Do you know where I stopped reading? I stopped reading by Pasuk 9. You know what Pasuk 9 says? Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, and he brought us to this place. Vayiten lanu et ha'aretz hazot, he gave us this land. Eretz zavat chalav u'dvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. If you're supposed to darshan the whole parsha, why do you leave this out? How could the Mishnah even say that you darshan the whole parsha and then leave out this pasuk? And then leave out the next pasuk, I can understand why it's left out. Pasuk 10 says, Va'ato hinei heveti, and now behold, I have brought the very first fruits. He can't say that the night of Pesach because he's not bringing first fruits the night of Pesach. So I can understand why Pasuk 10 does not appear in the Haggadah. But what happened with the pasuk of Vayivienu al Amakom Hazeh? He brought us to this place and he gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Why is that left out? This same question that I'm asking now can also be asked in a number of other places in the Haggadah. The most famous, of course, is the fact that we have four cups of wine. Why are there four cups of wine? Because the four cups of wine correspond to the four terms of redemption that appear in Parashat Va'era, where God says, Lachem, therefore say to the children of Israel, Ani Hashem, I am God, v'hotzeiti etchem, I'm going to take you out from under the suffering of Egypt, v'hitzalti etchem, and I will save you from their work, v'ga'alti etchem, and I will redeem you with an outstretched hand, v'lakachti etchem li la'am, and I'm going to take you unto me as a people. These are the four terms of redemption that appear in Parashat Va'era, v'hotzeiti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. However, there is another problem. Here also, we stop short, but there is a fifth term of redemption. The fifth term of redemption in Parashat Va'era is v'heveiti etchem, I'm going to bring you el ha'aretz, to the land asher nasati et yadi, that I lifted my hand, latet ota, in a promise, I swore to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, v'natati ota lachem, I'm going to give it to you, morashah's inheritance, ani Hashem, so says God. But we only have four kosot. The four kosot correspond to the four terms of Geula, not counting term number five, which is v'heveiti. It seems that we stop short of talking about Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, sort of, we stop there. It happens in two other places in the Haggadah. In the this does not appear on your sheet, but it says in the Haggadah, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu, at first our fathers were idolaters. And then it quotes a pasuk from Yehoshua, where Yehoshua, toward the end of his life, tells the people, "Be'evar hanor Yehoshua otecha me'olam, your fathers lived on the other side of the river, and they served the idols. And then God brought Avraham to Eretz Canaan, and then He gave Avraham to Avraham, He gave Yitzhak, and to Yitzhak He gave Yaakov, and Yaakov went down to Egypt." So there he's describing the fact that we were idolaters all the way back. As one continues the speech of Yehoshua, Yehoshua says he took us out of Egypt and he brought us to this land. That doesn't appear in the Haggadah. There's a fourth place. Right after that, he says, Baruch Shomer Haftachato Yisrael, blessed is the God who keeps his promise to the Jewish people. Baruch Hu, blessed is he. Shakodesh Baruch Hu, Chishevet HaKeitz, God figured out everything. When the end of the Golos would come, K'mosha Amal Avram Avinu, as he said to Avram Avinu, by the Brisbane Absachim, you should know that your children are going to be enslaved in a land that doesn't belong to them. And then afterwards, they're going to go out, I'm going to punish the ones who enslaved them, and they are going to go out with great wealth. Right after that, at the Brisbane Absachim, God continues on and says, and I'm going to bring them to the land that I've promised to you, to give to you and to your children, the land of the Canaanite, the Chiti, the Amori, etc. I've just demonstrated four places where we just come up to the point of talking about Eretz Yisrael, but the Haggadah stops short. Am I to assume? I don't know what I'm to assume yet. Am I to assume that, let's see, maybe the night of Pesach is not the time to talk about Eretz Yisrael. But then again, there are other indications. What do we say at the beginning? This year we are here, Shata Hara, this year we're here, Lashana Abba, next year we will be Ba'arot Yisrael, the land of Israel. At the end we say, Lashana Abba, Yerushalayim. But remember, the first question that I asked was, in this series of questions, it says, V'doresh me'arame oved avi, until you end the whole parasha. And we leave out that pasuk. How can you say that we've darshaned the whole parasha? All right. So the I saw with regard to a number of the questions that we've asked that they write in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the following. Specifically with regard to the question, listen, we darshan the whole parasha of Arami Oved Avi, but we don't darshan the pasuk Vayivienu El Hamakom Hazeh, pasuk 9, and he brought us to this place and he gave us this land. So they say a number of things in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. Number one is, if we would say that pasuk number 9, and he brought us to this place, it would mean that we are including Eretz Yisrael into the story of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, into the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, which would therefore mean, of course, that we would have not four terms of redemption, we would have a fifth, which would be the Heveti, because then the Heveti becomes part of the story. It seems that our rabbis worked on the assumption that the Heveti does not belong, and I have brought you to the land, does not belong in the Haggadah. So one thing the Rav says is, why doesn't it belong in the Haggadah? Because the Heveti is something, and I will bring you to it, it's also something that was already said to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What's the new message that is being said to Jews in Mitzrayim? The new message that's being said to them is, the Hitzalti, the Ga'alti, the Hotzeti, the Lakachti. The news is, I will redeem, I will save, I will remove you, the Lakachti etchem, and I will take you unto me as a people. The Heveti already was something that was said, that I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael, something that was said to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What we are celebrating, or what we are marking the night of Pesach, is that which was said now anew to the Jews in Mitzrayim. The second thing that the Rav says, and here I may disagree, the second thing is, the Rav says, even though they went into Eretz Yisrael, ultimately, after they came out of Mitzrayim, they went into Eretz Yisrael, the goal and the objective was not Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was a destination and not a destiny. In Hebrew, I said it was a Ya'ad, v'lo Yi'ud. Zehaya Ya'ad. It was a destination, but it was not the destiny. The destiny was Maimon Har Sinai, to arrive at Sinai, to receive Torah there. Eretz Yisrael was a destination, but not a destiny. If anything, and this is something that we said before, but I see now that it was also said by the Mar Nevuchim, the Rambam and the Mar Nevuchim, Pesach is the Yantif of Yitziat Mitzrayim, of the Exodus from Egypt. Shavuos is the Yantif on which Torah was given. Sukkot is the Yantif that celebrates the entry into Eretz Yisrael. You take Lulav and Esreg, Hadas va'Arava, that represent the land, the Arba Minim, the four species. Sukkot is the time which we celebrate the entry into Eretz Yisrael. A third answer that is given in the name of the Rav is, he says, it's possible that when the Haggadah was said at the time of the second Bet HaMikdash, when Jews were living in Eretz Yisrael, they might very well have said all of these psukim. They would have said, Vayivienu El Hamakom Hazeh. But when Jews went off into exile, how can you say, Vayivienu El Hamakom Hazeh, he brought us to this place, when we're not in this place, we're all over the world. How can we say it? So the Chav says, could be. That's really what how they said the Haggadah in the days of the second Bet HaMikdash. Before I begin the series of answers on all of this, I just have another few questions to ask. And really, everything is going to revolve around the first paragraph that you have on your sheet. In every generation, a person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. This, by the way, is the last paragraph of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's the last paragraph of the story of the Exodus from Egypt. The Haggadah is divided into two parts. The first part is the story, and the second is, as a result of the story, we owe a debt of gratitude and praise to God, and we therefore say Hallel. Right, the second paragraph over here is the one that immediately follows Bechol Dor V'Dor in the Haggadah, and where you see it sums up Lefichach, therefore, Anachnu Chayavim, therefore it is our obligation, Lehodot, Lehalel, Lishabeach, Lefoyer, Leromem, Lehadeh, Levarech, Lealel, Lekaleis. It becomes our obligation and our responsibility to praise and to raise and uplift and exalt and thank and bless. Lemisha also, Lavotenu Velonu, et Kol Hanisim Ha'ele, to the one who did to our fathers and us all of these miracles. He took us out from slavery to freedom, from unhappiness to joy, from mourning to yontif, umeafelo, from darkness la'or gadol, to great light, umishibud le'geula, and from enslavement to redemption. V'nam alafana, therefore we're going to say a new song unto him, which means therefore that Bechol Dor V'Dor, the paragraph before, is the concluding paragraph of that part of the Haggadah that deals with the Sipur, relating the story of Egypt. I have a number of questions on this paragraph, and this is what we're going to zero in on right now. One of the questions that I've discussed in the past with you is, Bechol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, a person is supposed to re-experience the Exodus from Egypt. So it says, Bechol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, Chayav Adam Lidos Hatzmo, a person has to see himself, Ki Iluhu Yotzami Mitzchayim, as though he went out of Egypt. And this we talked about before Yom Tov. What do you mean I'm supposed to look at it as though, or the Jew is supposed to look at it as though he went out of Egypt? That's not what we said at the beginning of the Haggadah. At the beginning of the Haggadah we say, Avodah Mayinu L'Faro in Mitzrayim, we were enslaved to Paro in Egypt. V'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would God not have taken us out, we would still be enslaved. So did we walk out, or did he take us out? He took us out. And then in the Haggadah we say, I did it, God says, Ani, I, not an angel, not a seraph, not a messenger. I did it, I took you out. So why doesn't it say, Bechol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, Chayav Adam, Lidos HaSatzmo, a person has to see himself, Ki Ilu, as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hotzi Otomi Mitzchem, as though God took him out of Egypt. What is in a sense, you know, the tough guy. He went out of Egypt. What do you mean you went out of Egypt? God took you out of Egypt. If he wouldn't have taken you out of Egypt, you'd still be enslaved there. So why does it say, Ki Ilu Hu Yatzami Mitzchem? Now, in order to prove the point that Bechol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, a person has to relive the Exodus from Egypt, we're going to bring two psukim. Shenema, as it says, you should tell your son on that day, so saying, Ba'avur zeh, because of this, Osa Hashem li, God did for me, v'tzeitim in Mitzrayim, when I went out of Egypt. Ba'avur, because of what? Says Rashi, Sha'akayim, I should be able to fulfill all of the mitzvot for that purpose, because of that, in order that we should achieve that I should be able to perform the mitzvah of Pesach and Matzah and Marah, in order that I should be able to fulfill Torah. Zeh represents the idea of that which is most significant and most important to us. Zeh keli va'anveyu, this is my God, and I exalt him. Zeh is Torah and mitzvahs. For that purpose, God took me out of Egypt. Here, of course, it's very fascinating. It says, yes, I went out of Egypt, which means this pasuk is real proof to what was just said, that in every generation a person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. But then the Baal Haggadah goes on to say, Lo at avoteinu buvad goal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is not our fathers alone who God redeemed, Ela avotanu goal imahem, also us he redeemed with them. Shenema, as it says, Va'utanu hotzi misham, and us he took out of there.
Now here we have a problem. This second pasuk is a contradiction to the first pasuk. The first pasuk says, "Balfour is there because of this also Hashem lead God did for me bitzeiti when I went out of Egypt." And now it says, "Va'otanu hotzini sham." He took us out of there. So what I want to know is, what's the purpose of the two pesukim? Why do we need two pesukim, especially when the second pasuk is the one that contradicts the first pasuk? The first pasuk says we went out, and the second pasuk says that God took us out. And of all the strange things, this is really strangest of all. The Chol Dor V'Dor, this paragraph appears in the Mishnah in the Sefer Pesachim. And the Mishnah ends after the first pasuk. Shenema v'higadeta levincha b'yom ahu le'mar, ba'avur zel asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mitzrayim. It stops there. In the Gemara, Omar Rava says, you also have to say Va'otanu hotzini sham. You should also say the second pasuk. It's the Gemara that adds the second pasuk. If you will take a quick peek down to the very bottom of the page on the right hand side, the last paragraph is the way the Rambam codifies it. And the Rambam says, Bechol Dor Ador, in every generation, Chayiv Adam Laharot Et Atzmo. He has a little bit of a different nusach. In every generation, a person is supposed to show himself. Ki'iluhu ba'atzmo. Listen to what the words that the Rambam adds. Ki'iluhu ba'atzmo, as though he himself, Yotza Ator, now went out of Shibud Mitzrayim. Shenemar, as it says, Va'otanu hotzimi sham, he took us out of there. Do you see what's fascinating over here in the Rambam? The Rambam does not quote the first pasuk, he only quotes the second pasuk. Now the first pasuk is the one that appeared in the Mishnah, and the second pasuk was added by the Gemara. And the Rambam leaves the first pasuk out and only puts in the second pasuk. Alright, we've asked enough questions, and now I think it's time to begin the answers, and even in the answers you'll begin to understand many of the questions even better than before. And a number of the ideas here we've expressed before, but we're now going to put them all together in one package and take us a great step further. Number one. Since in every generation a person is supposed to see himself as though he went out of Mitzrayim, what it really means is that the halacha wants, Torah wants, that I should see Yitziat Mitzrayim as my own story, not a story of what happened to others 3,500 years ago. It's my story. I am intimately involved and related. I'm part of that process. I'm not merely a second or a third generation survivor. I am first generation. The story of Mitzrayim is my story. Therefore, how brilliant the Baal HaGadol was that he did not build the story on the Parshiot of Shemot, Vo'era, and Bo. Where do we see in Torah that a Jew 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 years after Mitzrayim sees the story of the Exodus as his own personal story? You know where you see that? In the halacha that says a Jew is going to bring first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, and he's supposed to stand up before God himself, and he's supposed to say, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan wanted to destroy my father, and he went down to Egypt, and you took us out, and we suffered there. Do you know what a Jew is doing? Im Yetz Hashem, Mehera Yibane Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. We're going to bring first fruits. We're going to be 4,000 years after Yitziat Mitzrayim, and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I hope we go back into agriculture. There'll be millions who will come to the Beis HaMikdash with the first fruits, and they're going to describe in the presence of God himself, they're going to describe the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim as their own personal story. That's what the Baal HaGadol wanted. He wanted that we should experience it, as the Rambam says, as though he went out right now from Egypt. Would the story of the Haggadah be built on Parshiot Shmot Va'era in Bo, it would be a lesson in history. It would be what happened a long, long time ago to somebody else in a different place, in a very old, ancient, and antiquated Middle East. What does that have to do with the new Middle East? Garnish with garnish. But that's not the way the Haggadah is built. The Haggadah is built as, this is my story. Second, another idea that I've expressed on a number of occasions. And maybe it's worthwhile to repeat it again today, especially it's Yom HaZikaron LaShoah LaGvurah. All right. We all go through difficult periods in life. We all have, if not difficult periods in life, we have unhappy experiences. They can be of, you know, small things, big things. When we relive those experiences in our minds, we all fantasize, we all relive painful experiences. How do we relive those experiences? Do we relive them in our minds as though if the same thing would happen now, I'd make the same mistake I made before? I mean, that would be very, very sick. Anybody who relives an experience that way would really need to be examined. How do we, to use the simple example that I like to use, you're having words with somebody, and they say something not nice to you. We always want to have that one-liner to say back to them that would just wipe the floor with them. But we never think of that at the time. An hour later, oy, if only I would have said such and such to him or there. I mean, that's when an hour later we get the right sentence. When we think over the whole incident in our mind, you know how we think it over? Oh boy, this will happen again. Will I tell her? I will wipe the floor with her. We don't relive painful experiences as though, yeah, well, I'd make the same mistake all over again. We have to learn. We have to learn from history. We have to learn from history. And the other example that I'm always using is that as a child, one of my fantasies was that here are Jews being taken in cattle cars to Auschwitz, and out of the clear blue sky comes the Israeli Air Force and blasts the rail lines to Auschwitz. Jews are being gathered at the Umschlagplatz in Vienna, and Israeli paratroopers start moving in, and Germans are just falling like flies. Are we supposed to relive it as though we would make all of the mistakes that we had made in the past? The purpose of history is to learn from it. Therefore, I believe the Baal HaGadah was absolutely right. The Baal HaGadah says, "Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation, chayav adam lirot et atzmo, a person has to see himself ki'ilu hu, would he have been there? Yotza mimitzchayim, he would have gone out of Egypt." We don't relive it in such a way that in every generation a person is supposed to see himself as though if he would have been there, he would have waited for God to take him out of Egypt. If we've learned anything from 3,500 years of freedom, we've learned the importance of chedus, then obviously the only way to relive it in a normal way is behold over there in every generation a person has to see himself ki'ilu hu Yotza Mitzrayim, as though he went out of Egypt. And we have to learn it. I believe when we talked about it last, it was before the present military operation in Lebanon. And what I was saying then is most probably what people were feeling all along. We were on the receiving end of all sorts of terrorism, and we were not responding. And the establishment of this state was so that Jews should be able to respond and to react and to protect lives and property, the security of Klal Yisrael. All right. So therefore, Bechol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, a person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. Not as though we just waited
waited around until we would be taken out. Every year, I zero in on another one of the four sons. Sometimes I like the Chacham, sometimes I even find the goodness in that black heart of the Rasha. Sometimes I even feel good about the Tam, the Sheni Yedei Elisha, and then of course there are years where I dislike them all intensely, or one in particular. The one I didn't like this year was the Chacham. The Chacham is the one I didn't like. And I'll tell you why I didn't like him. Because I decided that if my mother, Allah Shalom, and my Buddha, and so many Jews used to refer to certain people as Achuchim from the Manishtana. You ever heard the expression in Yiddish, Achuchim from the Manishtana? A wise man from the Manishtana was a term of derision. Why in heaven's name should our Bubbas and our Zaydas and Achves, a thousand years of Jews that spoke Yiddish, why should they have made fun and sport and mock the Chacham from the Manishtana? Most probably there's something to mock. And I believe I understand, I mean, at least I have one approach to why the Chacham is one who should come in for some kind of derision. Because take a look, I have that on the in the center column, number one, Chacham Mahu Omer. What does the Chacham say? Maha Edus Vachukim Vamishpatim Asher Tziv Hashem Elokeinu Etchem. What are the testimonies, the laws, and the statutes that God, your God, commanded you? Va'afato emor lo, and you tell him Ki Hilchot HaPesach. Tell him like the laws of Pesach. After the Korban Pesach, you don't eat dessert. Afikoman is dessert. You don't eat dessert after the Korban Pesach. I have one kasha that bothers me, and I'm sure it must bother a lot of people. You will see toward the left-hand side, not all the way to the left-hand, there's one, two, three, four. The Arba Bonim, the four sons, are described in four different parashiyot of Torah. To be more specific, number one is the Chacham, and that's the big paragraph from Parshat Va'etchanan. And then the other three appear in Parshat Bo. Now, number one, the Chacham, it says, Ki yishol cha bincha mocha lemo, when your son is going to ask you tomorrow, mocha edus v'chukum v'mishpatum asher tziv Hashem alakeinu etchem, that's the question of the Chacham. There are about five, six psukim of an answer. If we're talking about the Chacham in the Haggadah, why don't we give him the answer that it says in the Torah? Why don't we answer him what it says in the Torah? Fact is, one thing that is said to him does appear in the Haggadah, Avodah Mayinu Lefaro V'Mitzrayim, V'Amarta Levincha, the second passage, Avodah Mayinu Lefaro V'Mitzrayim. But over here, when we mention the four sons, so what's the answer to the four sons? Is the answer to this son, the Chacham, does it come from the parish of Chacham in the Torah? No! But we tell him some kind of a halacha that after the Korban Pesach, you don't eat dessert. What kind of an answer is that? What's the answer? So I have two questions. Number one, why don't we give him the answer in the Torah? And number two, what kind of an answer is this? I said the following. The purpose of Korban Pesach is to relive the experience of Yitziat Mitzrayim. The halacha goes on to say that the night of Pesach, after you've eaten the Korban Pesach, you don't eat any dessert after it. Why? So that the taste of the Korban Pesach should remain in your mouth. The taste of the Korban Pesach. You know what this halacha says? This halacha says that tonight, the night of Pesach, is a night of experiencing, of feeling. And that feeling has to be maintained. You have to retain the taste in your mouth. Tonight is not the night for intellectual discussions. He comes over here to the Seder, and he wants to know the statutes, the laws, the testimonies. He wants answers for difficult Rambans. So you know what the father is telling me? Do me a favor. You got a whole year for that.
Get involved. You can do all the intellectual studies you want the whole year, but do me a favor, not tonight. Tonight the point is to experience, to feel. The problem with intellectuals can be they can be so intellectual that they lose sight of truth, they lose sight of reality, they lose sight of a real sense of what it means to be a Jew. And unfortunately, we see that happening all around us. Unsere intellectuals. What did Larry Dörfner say in the Jerusalem Post last week? If the only ones who can vote in elections would be university students, then there's no question about it that Peres and Labour. But of course, since all the dredges of Jewish society and the guys who are in prison and all of the criminals and the Datiyim and the religious and the national camp and the drug pushers, since all of them can vote, so therefore there are votes for Netanyahu, you understand? The dredges, you understand? How do you feel being part of the dredges? This is the dregs, you're on a high because you're a dreg. So all the dregs of society over here, including religious Jews, or maybe most probably prominently religious Jews, so this is the intellectual. In other words, that article most probably was the ugliest article I have ever read in my life. The ugliest, because it was all ugliness, it was all ad hominem, there was nothing intellectual about it all, but he sees himself as the greatest intellectual. This is the greatest intellectual that can say the kind of things that were said by Hitler, by Himmler, by Streicher. This is what the great intellectual can say. Or the great intellectual of Hebrew University who can say that the children of Hebron are Hitler youth, you understand? Or the one who can say that the Tanakh is work. God, I can't say it out of my mouth. Can't even say it out of my mouth. So the father is supposed to tell the chuchim from the manishtana, give me a break. Give me a break. I'm not interested in hearing your groyser londas tonight. I'm not interested in discussing with you the minutiae of Jewish law. Tonight is a night of experiencing. It's a night of feeling. It's a night to find yourself united and an integral part of all of Jewish history. After the Korban Pesach, you have to retain that taste in your mouth. There's an experience that you're supposed to be part of now. And your intellectualism can destroy, can kill every sense of feeling, because you don't trust your feelings anymore. You are the one who is able to do away with all of your feelings with your penetrating intellectual mind that's in Dreher. Let's take it one step further. I'm going to digress for a few minutes in order to point out to you the brilliance, the absolute brilliance of the Baal Haggadah. The Ksav HaKabbalah, one of my favorite svarim this year, says that there are two words that in Tanakh that usually connect cause and effect, event A and event B. The words are either biglal or ba'avur. Loosely translated, biglal because of, ba'avur in order to. And he points out that these two words are not synonymous. These two words have separate and unique meanings. What's the difference between ba'avur and biglal? Biglal is always related back to the past. Ba'avur is always related to the future. For example, if I say that such and such happened because of, I use the word biglal. For example, Yaakov wants to leave the house of Lavan. So Lavan says, don't go. Vayivorecheni Hashem, God has blessed me, biglalecha, because of you, I've been blessed. All the blessing that came up until now was because of you.
If we're talking about something that is happening in the present or the future, then the word is ba'avur.
Ba'avur zeh. Ba'avur zeh osa Hashem li. God did this in order that I should come to Sinai and receive Torah.
Now, the Ksav HaKabbalah, and I found others that talk about the difference between ba'avur and beglal, but there's a third word. The third word is lema'an. I believe it's extremely important to know the difference. I want to read to you one pasuk in Parshat Va'era. God says to Taro, v'ulam however,
ba'avur zot he'emadeticha. Because of this, in order for this, he'emadeticha, I've let you remain alive and standing. Ba'avur had otcha et kokhi, in order to show you my strength.
Ulema'an saper shmi b'chol ha'aretz, so that you should relate my name in the whole land. Which means like this. Ba'avur, you're going to continue standing, you're going to continue to remain alive in order that I should show you my strength. Lema'an seems to indicate, what's the ultimate purpose of it all? What's the final goal? And the fact is that in the Eser Makos, the word Leman keeps coming up again and again. God says,
Leman teida, so that you should know, ki ani Hashem, that I am God. Leman teida, in order that you should know, ki ani Hashem, bekerav haaretz, that I am God in the midst of the land. In the beginning of Parshas Bo, it says, Leman Tesaper ba'ozne bincho ben bincho, in order that you should relate in the ears of your children and your children's children that which I did to Egypt. Leman represents the ultimate goal and the ultimate objective.
Ba'avur. And the fact is that there are many, many fascinating psukim. Once I had mentioned this in shul, there were fascinating psukim that people brought up that have to be explained. Somebody even mentioned to me a pasuk that has all three words, and I'm not going to explain it now. I'll leave it for homework. As Avram and Sarah coming to Mitzrayim for the first time, so he says to her, Imri na, please say, Achosi at, you are my sister. Lema'an yitavli, in order that it should be good to me, da'avurech, because of you, v'choyton nafshi, and my life will be kept alive, biglalech, because of you. Leman, bavur, biglal, don't ask me pshat in the pasuk now. All that I want you to understand is that biglal is a word that refers to the past. Something that happened in the past, it happened because of. Something that's going to happen in the future, an event now that is to lead to something in the future, ba'avur. And then the ultimate goal and the ultimate objective is always leman. So take a look at the brilliance of the Baal HaGadah. With one stroke, he answers so many of my questions. Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation, chayev adam lido sasatzvo ki'ilu hu yotzo mimitzchayim, in every generation a person has to see himself as though he went out of Mitzrayim. Now I went out. Shedemar, as it says, v'higat et olavincha b'yom ahu lemor, you should tell your son on that day, so saying, ba'avur zeh, in order that I should reach Torah, in order that I should fulfill Torah mitzvahs, asa Hashem li, God did all of these miracles for me, v'tzeitim in Mitzrayim, when I went out of Mitzrayim. And now the Baal HaGadah, who could have stopped right here, goes on, and he says, not our fathers alone did the Holy One, blessed be He, redeem, us He also redeemed with them. Shenema, as it says, He took us out of there. So we ask that this is a contradiction, but no, listen to what this pasuk is going to say. This, I'm ready to take the chance, I took the chance already, so I'll take it again, saying that we're going to read now the most unusual pasuk of all, a pasuk in Tanakh that is different than all other psukim that talk about Eretz Yisrael.
And by the way, do you know where this pasuk appears? In the parsha of the Ben Chacham, in the parsha of the son who's the Chacham. Now listen to the pasuk, and remember also that this is the last pasuk, the last sentence of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The story ends here. Listen to the pasuk, Va'otanu Hotzim Yisham, and he took us out of there. Leman Havi Otanu, in order to bring us. Latet Lanu Et Haaretz, to give us the land, Hashem Nishbal Avotenu, that he swore to our fathers. You remember I had asked at the beginning of the year, there were four other psukim that deal with Eretz Yisrael, that the Baal HaGadol stopped short and doesn't say them. He didn't say the pasuk Vayivienu al Hamakom Hazeh, he brought us to this place, which is in Parashat Arami Ovid Avi, in Mikra Bikurim. He didn't bring the pasuk of Vehiveti, which is the fifth lashon of Geula. He doesn't bring the pasukim in the by Briz Ben Absachim and in Sefer Yoshua. And I say there's one reason for it, because all of those other four places do not connect the entry into Eretz Yisrael with the exodus from Egypt. In all of the other cases, we are being told, I will save you, I will take you out, I will this, I will that, and then Vehiveti, I will bring you. It means, you know, one event following another. They don't necessarily have to be inextricably intertwined. There's nothing that says that one is in order to do the other. Or the Jew who brings the first fruits, he says, we ran out of Mitzrayim, Vayivienu, and then, you know, afterwards, Vayivienu, Alamakam Hazeh, he brought us to this land in order to give us the land that flowing with milk and honey. There's only one pasuk in all of Tanakh, and I hope I'm not proven wrong. There's only one pasuk in all of Tanakh that says the purpose, the goal, the objective behind all of Yitzias Mitzrayim was one thing. Lema'an Haviotanu, in order to bring us to the land. Which means that this pasuk is part of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The other psukim are not part of the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim because they don't connect the two. Here is the one pasuk in which they are connected. You know what the Baal HaGadol is saying? You have just now gone through the Haggadah. You now experienced Yitzhak Mitzrayim. You went out of Mitzrayim. So what do you do now? What do you do now? You're out of Mitzrayim. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? You know, there's only one place to go. What was the purpose of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Votanu Hotzini Shami, took us out of there, Laman, in order to bring us to the land that he promised to our fathers. That's where you have to go. There is no other place. There is no other place. That was the whole purpose of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Do you understand that Baal HaGadol chose not to bring any of the other psukim that deal with Eretz Yisrael, only to bring this pasuk? Because this is the only pasuk that makes Eretz Yisrael part of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. I had a few difficult moments this past Shabbos. Thank God I looked at the Sedra and the Haftorah before Shabbos, and I had a moment at which I began to sweat, and I thought, here it was, my whole Shabbos HaGadol Drasha was going to be shattered and fall apart at the seams, and I have to get up this past Shabbos and Shul and say, fellas, I made a mistake. But you know, I didn't make a mistake. In the Haftorah of this past Shabbos, it tells us the story of David bringing the Aron from Giv'ah, the house of Abinadav in Giv'ah, wanting to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. And as the procession begins, the Aron is on a wagon. The wagon tilts. The Aron begins to slide off. And Uzzah, who is one of the sons of Abinadab, stretches out his hand to stop the Aron from falling. I was so involved in what I was saying, I forgot that it was going to be 10 o'clock. There was just a pause.
applause for the siren of Yom HaShoah. And we're going to get to that in a moment. I have a few things to say about that. I was describing the David. They're taking the Aron up to Yerushalayim. It begins to slide off the wagon. Uzzah stretches out his hand and he tries to hold the Aron, and he's stricken by God, dead on the spot. David is extremely angry. It means here is the great day of joy, and the joy is all over, it's all ended. Of course, the relationship between the Sedra is because in the Sedra, Nadav Avihu are struck down as well. On the day, the Chodesh Nisan, the day of the dedication of the Mishkan. Now there's a pasuk. What did they do with the Aron after that? David was afraid to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. What did they do with the Aron? So they put the Aron in the house of a fellow called Oved Edom. And then it says, you know what? The house of Oved Edom was blessed by God. Bracha begins to pour down on Oved Edom. It seems they had 8 sons, and the 8 sons, of course, had 8, so there are 8 daughters-in-law. It says the mother and the 8 daughters-in-law all became pregnant, and each one had sextuplets. And then the bracha, most probably they had to do what they're doing in Kiryat Shmona. In order to get diapers, you have to call the police, and the police will deliver diapers in Kiryat Shmona to anybody who needs diapers. I mean, for how many is that? 9 times 6 is 54. 54 Kanayin Har, 54 Kindlech in the house, and that's that's not counting the husbands Says the pasuk the following: Vayugad Lamelech David Lamar. It was told to King David, so saying, Beirach Hashem et Beit Oved Edom. God has blessed the house of Oved Edom, that kol asher lo, and everything that's to him, ba'avur Aron ha'elokim. What do you mean ba'avur Aron ha'elokim? It should be biglal. It's going back on the past. Lavan said, Vayivorcheni, God has blessed me biglalecha, because of you. His blessing had to be biglal, because the Aron ha'elokim was there. He was blessed. But that's not what it says. Ba'avur Aron ha'elokim, it says. Wrong word. So I looked at it and I said, God, they're going to get to the Haftorah in Shul on Shabbos, and if the whole Shul starts laughing, it's because I know it's me that they have in mind. The rabbi was wrong. So I pulled out the Malbim quickly. And the Malbim says, you know, the word here should have been biglau, not ba'avur. Why does it say ba'avur? Oh, what he says is brilliant, yet it is painful. Chazal, the Gemara, says on this pasuk that, you know what people were saying? People were saying the Aron is a killer. The Aron brings death. So you know what happened? God blessed the house of Oved Edom ba'avur, in order that the Ark of God should not be called a killer. It was not, the Ikar over here was not to bring blessing upon the house of Oved Edom. It was to clear the Aron ha'elokim of all guilt, ba'avur, in the best interests of the Aron ha'elokim, that people shouldn't say it. What Hamalbim Avia says. Oh, you don't know that. But what hit me the second after I saw the Hamalbim, you know what hit me? All the way back there, they were already blaming God for death. There were Jews who were already saying, anything goes wrong, it's God's fault. There's a tragedy, it's God's fault. Where was God? And if not God, who are the killers of this country? Who was it? Tommy Lapid, in his ugly article of a week and a half ago, Ani lo ma'amin, I do not believe. I simply do not believe a religion that produces killers. You know, we're all killers. We're all killers. God is a killer, Torah is a killer, religion is a killer. They were saying it all the way back there, to the point where God had to clear his name. Do you understand? He had to clear his name. He had to pour blessing upon the house of Obed Edom, Ba'avur Aron HaElokim, in order to cleanse Aron HaElokim. So the man in the street shouldn't think that Torah and Yiddishkeit admits this is death. Tragedy.
But those who don't want to hold on to Torah and want to reject Torah find the excuse of saying Aron causes death.
Which means that once we have finally reached the point where we see how significant and how important this last line, the last pasuk that is brought in the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, Va'otanu Hotzi Misham, he took us out, Leman Haviotanu, in order to bring us to the land, in order to bring us to the land that God has promised. So what we've been talking about is, we've been talking about why the two psukim. So we say pasuk number one, Bavur, is in order that we should receive Torah. Let me use a very crude example. Very crude example. On my way home, I stop off at the makola to pick up a loaf of bread. What's my point in picking up the loaf of bread? I should sit and eat it in the makolet, or in order to take it home with me? I mean, I'm not talking about Bunker's bagels. I'm talking about, I wouldn't even eat a Bunker's bagels and Bunker's. I take it home. All right? So you're on your way home, and you stop at the makolet, you pick up a bread, and you go home. What's my ultimate goal? My ultimate goal is home. But more than that, my ultimate goal is to eat the bread at home. Eat the bread at home. It may be a crude example, but what it means is, Bavur Zeh, God, I went out of Egypt in order that I should get to Sinai and pick up Torah. And you know what I should do with that Torah that I pick up at Sinai? Bring it to Eretz Yisrael. Take the loaf of bread and bring it home. But you know what? I'm supposed to eat it. I'm supposed to eat it in Eretz Yisrael. Bavur Zeh, because of this, God did for me when I went out of Egypt. But do you know why he took us out altogether? Do you know what the whole purpose of it all? In order to bring us to an Eretz Yisrael where there's going to be Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Because ultimately, of course, if more than half of the mitzvahs of Torah are related to Eretz Yisrael, it means this is precisely where he wanted us to be. V'osanu hotzi misham. He took us out of there. Leman, leman, leman Hashem, leman haviotanu, in order to bring us. The ultimate goal and the ultimate objective was to bring us here so that we should create a life of Torah right here. So therefore we have the need for the two psukim. But there are two other points that I'm going to make. And these two other points are points that I most probably will take a longer period of time until we will fully develop them. I believe there's something else that's terribly, terribly significant about these two psukim. Number one, you will notice there's a significant difference between Pasuk 1 and Pasuk 2. Pasuk 1 is Vehigadeto levincha b'yom ha'u le'mor b'avur zeh osa Hashem li b'tzeiti Mitzrayim. First Pasuk is all, first person singular. B'avur zeh, because of this, osa Hashem li, God did to me b'tzeiti when I went out of Egypt. The second Pasuk is all plural. V'otanu hotzi misham. He took us out of there, leman havi otanu, in order to bring us, latet lanu, to give us, et haaretz, the land asher nishba la'avotenu, that he swore to our fathers. Second pasuk is all plural, first pasuk is all singular. You know what it means? I'll explain the significance of these two psukim. More than 200 years ago, The students of the Baal Shem Tov were of the first group that came on Aliyah, in a sense, in modern times. It didn't begin at the end of the last century. It began toward the end of two centuries ago. One of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem was Reb Avraham, who wrote a sefer called Chesed LaAvraham. This great Yid, the Chesed LaAvraham, who maybe this is also something for another time, He wrote a letter describing his suffering in Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote this back to his friends in in Chutzlaritz in order to tell them, if you want to come on Aliyah, you have to know what you're getting yourself into. We're not promising you a rose garden. You're going to have to go through a period of great difficulty until you're finally going to make it. And if you feel that you have the strength and the stamina and the ability to do it, come. Otherwise, it'll be very difficult. This Yid, the Chesed Lavram, said that the first night a person comes to Eretz Yisrael, he's given a new neshama, a new soul. What's the meaning of this new soul? What's the new soul you get the night you come, first night you come to Eretz Yisrael? So I found Rav Kook says the following. Rav Kook says, listen to one sentence. HaNeshama HaKlolis Shel Knesset Yisrael, the communal neshama of the Jewish people, Eino Shore Ba'ish HaPrati, does not rest in the individual, Ki Im Be'eretz Yisrael, only in Eretz Yisrael. The taketh kishabo Adam le'Eretz Yisrael, and immediately as soon as a Jew comes to Eretz Yisrael, midbatelet nishmato haprati, his personal neshama becomes bottle, is removed, mipnei ha'or ha'gadol, in the presence of the great light of haneshama haklolis hanichneses l'tocho, in light of the that klal Yisrael neshama that comes into a human being. What a statement. In Chutz Laretz, a person's neshama is a private, personal, first person, singular neshama. You come to Eretz Yisrael, new neshama, but this neshama already is a more all-encompassing and an embracing of Klal Yisrael. I want to say on the basis of this statement of Rav Kook, which is so powerful, I want to say that's why there are two psukim in the whole Dor V'Dor. The first pasuk says, "Ba'avur zeh, because of this, also Hashem li, God did for me, bitzeiti mi Mitzrayim, when I went out of Egypt." Going out of Egypt, in Golus and going out of Golus, I'm no more than first person singular. There may be 600,000 first person singulars who went out of Mitzrayim. But that's what we remain. The only time at which I can begin to talk and feel and sense nishmatically, if there's such a word, if there's any moment at which I can begin to sense more than I did before the pain of Klal Yisrael, that's only in Eretz Yisrael, because I have a new neshama there. And therefore it says, V'osanu hotzi misham, he took us out of there, leman havi osanu, in order to bring us. I now talk in terms of us, not in terms of me and I. New neshama, says the Chesed Lavram. And clearly Rav Kook is talking about this neshama haklolis, the all-embracing neshama, that enters a Jew when he comes into Eretz Yisrael. Taketh immediately kishabo Adam. As soon as a man comes to Eretz Yisrael, he gets it. There are certainly a lot of people living in Chutz Laretz who, let's say, some people, take it back, some people living in Chutz Laretz who feel and sense the pain and the suffering of Klal Yisrael. I believe it's directly related to the extent to which they are involved with Eretz Yisrael. I'm ready to say that even the person in Chutz Laretz can have crumbs of that neshama in direct relationship to the amount by which he is connected to Eretz Yisrael. There are, I know, I have a few friends, Jews, who live on the internet and know what's going on in Eretz Yisrael and want to know what's going on in Eretz Yisrael minute by minute, and they care. They are, and it's direct, they must have picked up the neshama here as they, some who say even a tourist gets it. Even a tourist gets it, but I imagine, and you can get it without passing through the red line. In other words, you can bring it in without meches, but you leave it here. You leave it here when you leave Eretz Yisrael to go back. You leave that neshama. That neshama stays here. And I imagine you can pick it up the next time you come around. So I believe it's genius of the Baal HaGadah that he brings to psukim, when the fact is that the The first pasuk alone, already proved whatever we wanted to say. Why does he bring the second pasuk? So now this is our second answer. Our first answer, of course, is that this second pasuk is brought because this second pasuk represents the ultimate goal of all of Yitzchias Mitzrayim, Laman Havi Asanu. But I'm saying more. I'm saying we're going one step further. In Golus, or exiting from Golus, is a personal experience. Being in Eretz Yisrael is a Klal Yisrael experience. It means, therefore, one step further. And this may be the most painful part of it all. I have reached the point at which I believe that famous Gemara, everybody knows the Gemara, Eretz Yisrael, Niknes, Biyisurim, Eretz Yisrael is acquired through suffering. So I had thought, and I'm sure many others had thought, that after each one of us goes through our personal Yisurim, and we feel that we have finally acquired Eretz Yisrael, then it's acquired, it's all over. The suffering is over. And we all go through that, And nobody is spared it. In one way or another, there is some kind of suffering, greater, lesser. All right. But now I believe that there are two kinds of suffering that are necessary for Eretz Yisrael to be acquired. I can acquire my own personal Eretz Yisrael through my own personal suffering. But there's a second level of suffering, and that's Klal Yisrael suffering. For Klal Yisrael to acquire Eretz Yisrael, the Klal as a whole suffers. Yes, so we're not going through the terrible first 5-6 years that we're here, but we're not in pain now. So now the pain is, where is this country going? What's going to happen with the people in it, both spiritually and physically? How will we look in 5 to 10 years from now? What are the terrible challenges? So here we thought that, oh, we are ready. We paid our dues, and we went through all of the Yisurim of Eretz Yisrael, and we acquired Eretz Yisrael, so it's sort of, we're making a living, we got a job, and the kids are reasonably settled as kids ever will be, you understand? And okay, that phase is over, and that's it. We can now live happily ever after in Eretz Yisrael. So comes the tzaras of the cloud that give us maybe even more pain, and we end up with less menucha than we had before. Because to acquire Eretz Yisrael, when it says Eretz Yisrael, nicknames be Yisurim, while I always thought Eretz Yisrael being acquired by through suffering was something that was speaking to the individual personally, I now believe that it's talking not only about the individual, but Eretz Yisrael is acquired by Klal Yisrael through Yisurim. And that means the following. If the Yisurim of the individual take 5 years, it can take 50 to 100 years for a Klal Yisrael that is coming back after 2,000 years. So in 50 years, we're going to establish ourselves in a way that there will be peace and quiet and harmony. 50 years is a drop in the bucket of Jewish history. I don't want to say it, but I think maybe it'll take another 50 years until we establish ourselves here. If the individual has to go through a period of great suffering, a Klal Yisrael comes back here until you establish a country with goal, with direction. It's a painful process. I'm just afraid that there's no way out, unless, of course, we understand that the painful process is the process of growth. And in that process of growth, there are going to be moments of failure, and there are going to be moments of great success. And therefore the Baal HaGadah brings two psukim. One pasuk that talks about us, me, I, going through my own suffering, and then my redemption. I went out of Mitzrayim, I threw off the yoke, I've made it. And then I come to Eretz Yisrael and I have a completely different kind of suffering. The suffering that comes in order to create a people. It should be, and ultimately it is, a creative suffering. But then there are moments at which you look at it and it looks like it's all destructive and being lost. In Yetzer Hashem, it will be a creative one. It's not simple for a people to come from Shoah to Kuma. Not a simple thing. We thought, mistakenly, that the process, well, is a speed it up and speed it up. It may very well be, but we just haven't made it yet. And we're in most probably what may be one of the most painful parts of that progress, the process. And we pray, yes, Hashem, that none of our soldiers should, God forbid, be hurt or harmed in the north. Kodesh Baruch Hu Yishmor Aleihem, and Yishomer Yisrael, Hinei Lo Yonum V'lo Yishon, Yishomer Yisrael, He neither sleeps nor slumbers. And in Yetz Hashem, we will emerge from this strengthened, a different kind of people, another part of the Yisuchim over with, and more of Eretz Yisrael acquired. That's it.